Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is PJ. I was in the Navy for 15 years, retired as a Navy SEAL, spent time all over the world, worked with all kinds of wonderful people, some of the best veterans and best soldiers this country's ever seen. And since getting out, I started to work into the nonprofit space and the veteran mental health space, specifically veteran suicide and mental health. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
That's awesome. What inspired you to start your nonprofit, Find Your Way?
It's not my nonprofit. So I'm working for the nonprofit called the Step Up Foundation, which was founded by Sarah Wilkinson. Her husband, Chad, died by suicide in 2018. And her and I met at another fundraiser swim shortly after that, where she put together a team of swimmers and raised quite a bit of money for this foundation. And I just approached her shortly after that and told her I had a kind of a wild idea to raise some money for her nonprofit and that I'd like to do this 10K swim out to this lighthouse. And we collaborated in a very short amount of time. And we put this swim together in about 70 days. And that's kind of how the Find Your Way Home swim series was formed. So the Find Your Way Home is essentially a swim series that falls under the Step Up Foundation.
Very cool. So we have a question from France, this comes from France, and it goes, how did you come up with the idea of using open water swims as a method to raise funds and awareness for veteran suicide?
Great question. So with my background, obviously being a SEAL, water's always been my home. Where I grew up on an island, I was always out in the water and loved it. And when I got out of the teams, I actually thought I'd never want to get in the water, be around the beach, or be cold again. And it kind of came full circle where the water became my sanctuary again. With my own struggles of suicidal ideation and attempt in the past and PTS, I started using the water as my solstice again, and it really came full circle. So now I go out there now to essentially just have time to think, meditate, and get a good workout in. And it's a little easier in my body than running is. So I enjoy it, and it's quiet out there.
Yeah, I feel like that's at least one aspect of the Navy SEAL that you need to dominate and master is conquering the open water. But kind of related to that, we have a question from a student in the States, and they asked, what kind of training and preparation do participants need for an open water swim?
One, you got to have respect for the water and be confident out there. So I definitely start in a pool where it's a little bit more contained environment than you get in the open water. But one of the things we require for the swimmers with us is a swim buoy, so you have some positive flotation. And then we make most of our swims with fins. And that kind of comes from the community I was involved with the SEAL teams. You know, we always use fins in the water. I never see a reason to get in without them. It's kind of like, you know, like you wouldn't put bullets in your gun. So those are the two things that we require. And then obviously like a swim mask. But other than that, just getting out there and getting comfortable in the water and starting to learn how the water moves and the currents move and go from there.
That's awesome. So this question comes from Spain, and they ask, what are some of the challenges you face transitioning from military to civilian life, and how did you overcome them?
Great question. Kind of loaded one too. I didn't think that I would have these challenges. I heard about them often from guys getting out, and it was the identity piece. My whole identity was wrapped up in being a SEAL, and I thought by getting out that it would just change everything and it would fix all my problems, and it couldn't have been farther from the truth. Within months of getting out, I was suicidal. I had to seek out treatment at a facility for alcohol, PTS, and substance abuse. So I went down there, got a couple months help down there, and had to learn that there was a higher power that's essentially looking out for me, and that I had a new mission and new purpose in life. And I'm still working through that and what that is, but it's kind of more giving back and being there for others that are going through the same type of things I was. So that hardest piece was that, just giving up that identity of being a SEAL and that brotherhood, that community of, you know, being with the guys all the time. And then when you get out, it's like, you know, one of the things they say is you're on a speeding train. And once you step off that train, you know, you're all alone. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt isolated on an island, you know, not just literally, but figuratively. And yeah, it took a couple of years to start forming new habits, new patterns of life, and new relationships with people, and just find a new community essentially to change those thought processes. And I still work with therapists today. I have no shame with that. And you know, I challenge where I think all the time and try to listen to other people's point of views and their experiences and hardships, and pretty much learn something from everybody.
That's great. And obviously there's a bunch of different types of PTSD and experiences a bunch of different veterans have faced. But in terms of going about your life after that, what would you say, I mean, other than giving back to your community, doing things for others, what other resources would you say that veterans have access to that can help improve that tough transition?
I said it already, and I'm going to stand behind this one, is community. And, you know, it's not just community within that SEAL team. It's finding new community, you know, whatever that may be for you right now. For me, it's, like I said, it's in the veteran advocacy and mental health space, but it's also, I'm learning, you know, just the community around me. I'm surrounded by all kinds of people that want to get out of their comfort zone now and experience open water swimming. And we get them together. We do cold dips in the winter, so we're in the water all the time. Throughout the summer, throughout the winter. That's the biggest piece, is not isolating yourself and actually just finding a group of community that you can be with, and that you're with like-minded people. And another thing I found that is just having a support system. People that, you know, sometimes people just need you to listen to them. You just need to be in ear. And that was the big thing for me, is when I got out, I had a group of people that just opened up their arms to me, their houses to me, you know, and I'd go over there for dinners, you know, and there was never any expectation back other than just come, just be part of us. And that's essentially what I try to do with people now too, like give them an ear, you know, especially people going through hard times. Sometimes they don't necessarily want to hear what, you know, they don't want you to tell them what needs to be done. They just want you to listen to them.
That's awesome. That's amazing to hear. So other than fundraising and suicide prevention awareness, does your foundation, or the foundation that you work with, do they do anything else beyond on fundraising, and are there specific programs or resources that you guys provide?
So the Step Up Foundation doesn't have a specific program right now, and I don't know if that's the direction we're going to go in. We're more focused on raising funds to send veterans to programs, whether it's Defenders of Freedom or other unorthodox treatment centers, to start getting them the help they need. So as of right now, we're more or less a vehicle to raise the funds. And that's going to be done through hard challenges. Chad was a avid mountain climber outside the SEAL teams, and what he used to do is a workout called which now is known as the Chad 1000X. It's the Heroes Day workout on Veterans Day. And it's the 1000 box step ups with a 45 pound pack on to prepare for his mountaineering trips. So we're looking to do just hard challenges and bring those together to start raising money to get veterans the help they need.
That's incredible. And this comes from Italy, but what has the community response been to your open water swims and events?
Overwhelming at first. A lot of people were wondering what the heck people were doing out there swimming. and then before you knew it, we had, you know, with it, we live on a small island here, but we had support from about four or five other local communities, and then seven federal and local law enforcement communities that supported the swim. So it's been overwhelming. And then once the swim was over last year, it was, you know, when you walk into the grocery store, pass somebody on the street, it was, you know, hey, when are we doing year two? You know, we want to swim it next year. So
that's awesome. And for those who are listening and maybe international students, being in Michigan in the winter, I got to assume that the water is pretty cold, right? Or
it is. It freezes over the summer. No, it freezes over. We get ice.
That's a tough swim.
Yeah. So what we do actually, we go down, like I said earlier, we break up the ice and we just do cold dips in the winter and we sit in there. And I started doing that for inflammation in the body. And we ended up forming community around that. It started with just me and one other person, and we'd invite some people to come and they just thought we were crazy the first year. And then this following year, there'd be 16 of us at a time getting in there. And then me and another gal, she's one of my swimming partners. Her and I did our first open water swim in the river this year. And I think it was like February 22nd this year. The water was about 38 degrees. Okay. So that was probably the coldest one I've done yet.
And what are you wearing? Are you wearing just a thick wetsuit? Or?
Definitely wasn't a thick wetsuit. I was a little cold on that swim. But once the water warms up into the 50s, I just swim it slick.
Okay.
So right around mid 50s, I just start wearing a bathing suit and I'm good with that. I tend to like the cold water a little bit more than warm water.
That's awesome. So we've got a couple more student questions here. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, but here we have one from Mexico. So the student wants to know, what advice do you have for someone who wants to start a charitable organization or get involved in similar causes?
Research on it, you know, see what's out there already, figure out what your mission statement's going to be and who you want to impact and go from there.
That's awesome. And so how can young people, students, and just the next generation, how can they contribute to supporting veterans and raising awareness about veteran suicide?
Listen to their stories, you know, listen to what these veterans have gone through. You know, that's one of the biggest things we can't forget is the history behind it. And continuing to listen to what they have to say and what this country's gone through over the years. You know, this last current conflict was the longest one we've been in, and educating these younger people on it, you know, I think it's important. And what these guys go through, not just during it, but afterwards. Afterwards seems to be where the real challenges come in. And, you know, this next generation of kids, they're going to be the ones that are essentially there for us as we get older and older. So the more they can learn about us and what we've gone through, I think the better help they could be.
We'll go with one more question here. And this comes from France, but they want to know, what keeps you motivated and driven in your mission to support veterans and combat suicide?
Great question. So right now it is, you know, I get calls pretty much on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week, from guys or gals that are struggling, whether it's with suicidal ideation or PTS, substance abuse. And, you know, the phone rings throughout the day or into the night, and just picking up that phone, sometimes it feels like it's a 1,000-pound phone, you know, when you go to pick it up. And just being there to listen to somebody and start pointing them in the right direction. And, you know, I say the first thing is that person wants to want to help themselves. There's no magic button out there for someone to fix themselves. They got to want to fix themselves. And that comes through wanting to make changes. And it starts right there.
Wow, that's an incredible way to put it. In a 1,000-pound phone, that's a great way to describe it.
It was put to me, you know, the hardest thing to ever do, and it was for me too, is say that 4-letter word, which is help. And that's where that 1,000-pound phone comes in, you know, that to pick up that phone and actually tell somebody, to tell another soul that you need help. Mm-hmm. You know, in a society we're raised that we just can do everything on our own, and we're not. We're tribal people. We're supposed to be with community. So it's okay to ask for help. That's the biggest point I want to make. And if you need it, ask for it. Chances are there's going to be people all around you waiting to help you. So I just want to read what one of these safety kayakers, which kayaks alongside the swimmers out to Lighthouse. I want to read what one of the things she said about the weekend last year. And she wrote, "This weekend I was honored to kayak alongside swimmers in the Find Your Way Home 10K swim to the Detroit River Lighthouse. Our goal was to raise funds and support for the Step Up Foundation and their work to increase awareness around veterans and service members impacted by traumatic brain injury, PTSD, and suicide. Our Great Lake Erie had a mind of her own. Waves were rolling, the wind was blowing, each mile seemed longer than the last. You can feel unsure how to help someone going through such a mental and physical challenge. I learned a few lessons about supporting swimmers in big open water, and I think these lessons can be applied to supporting the veterans and service members we meet throughout our lives. One, keep your eye out, watch for signs of fatigue and stress. Two, let them know you will always be close by and ready to assist. Three, try to stay true to the course and help them get their bearings as needed. Four, offer encouragement. Five, even in rough water, look for the light and keep moving forward. Six, celebrate together, share in the joy, and live big." And the way she said that, man, it always stuck with me. It actually made me cry when I first read it. So I wanted to share that with everybody.
That's an incredible description. PJ, thank you so much for joining us. If you have any last words of advice or tips for our students, you know, they're high school students and they're about to go into a big transition in life. But if you have any words of advice you'd like to share as well, feel free.
Yeah, never give up on your dreams. Follow them and work hard. That's the biggest thing I can say is if you're dreaming something, you can achieve it.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you, PJ Ramsey, and thank you for your service to our great country. We really appreciate your time and all you're doing for veterans around the world. So we thank you.
All right. Thanks, Graham. I appreciate your time too.